In Acts chapter 24, that's where we want to be this morning. We're seeing the beginning of Paul's trials. Paul's arrest and trials began with his being assaulted by the Jews and rescued by the Romans. In 23:11, the Lord assured Paul that he will testify about him in Rome. This assurance was followed by a plot to kill Paul. Of course, you know, it was doomed to failure, which was exposed by Paul's nephew. That night, Paul was transferred to Felix in Caesarea, 90 miles or so away, before whom he would subsequently defend himself. Keep in mind that when Paul was in Jerusalem, the Lord assured Paul that he will testify about him in Rome. Although Paul did not know how he would be getting to Rome, we do know this because we have been privileged to read the rest of the story in the coming chapters. Paul has been under confinement to the Romans since a few days after his arrival in Jerusalem. He has not had any choice in his having been transferred under Roman authority to Caesarea. At this time in his life, although confined, Paul was right where God wanted him to be. Although we can be certain that Paul had no idea how he was going to get to Rome, we have no trouble believing that he would like to be free from his confinement in Caesarea. But we must remember that God's timing was perfect in Paul's life. Just as his timing in your life and mine is also perfect. You think about that. His timing in our lives is absolutely perfect. Of course, I know I had to have been conceived on the day of God's choice. I had to be born on the day of God's choice. I've been led throughout my life by the Lord in His service. And you know, I've got another thing that's coming. One of these days, I'm going to go to heaven on the day of God's choosing, whether that's at the rapture or whether that's before the rapture. Stick around. You may find out what happens. I may find out. On the other hand, who knows? My mind may be shot by then. And I may not have any idea what's going on. You've been through that with others. You know how it is. But God has you and He has me right where He wants us to be. Although at the present time, God has us right where He wants us to be. It does not mean that God won't move us somewhere else in the future. It is important that we are to be living for the Lord here and now, where we are, and that we also be living for the Lord wherever He leads us in the future. Now, I recognize that for most of you, your roots are well established right here, and you're probably not going anyplace else. We don't know what's going to happen, though, do we? We surely don't. I never, never in my life expected to live in North Carolina. But here I am. I never expected whatever's coming. I still don't know what's coming. But you know, I don't have to know because I know who's in control. And you know him too. As we come to Acts chapter 24, we see in verses 1 through 27, we're not going to go that far this morning, we see Paul's defense before Felix. After 5 days, see, remember now, he's been delivered to Felix by the Roman cavalry. He had an escort, a mounted escort, from Jerusalem to Antipatris and then to Caesarea. 2 days. After 5 days, the high priest Ananias came down from Jerusalem to Caesarea, accompanied by the elders, and Tertullus was present or was there to present their case against Paul to Felix. Now, you know, as you've read ahead, that they really don't have a case against him. They're having to manufacture one. And after 5 days, according to verse 1, Ananias the high priest descended with the elders and with a certain orator named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul, and transitions to the day of Paul's hearing before Felix. And it's understood in the sense of now or then. After 5 days suggests that by the time 5 days had elapsed since Paul arrived in Caesarea, and this likely includes Paul's arrival in Caesarea, Ananias, the high priest, descended with the elders, means that Ananias and the elders came down from Jerusalem to Caesarea. Of course, you know by now that the reason they descended is that Jerusalem was at a higher elevation than Caesarea. And with a certain orator named Tertullus, indicates that Tertullus accompanied the high priest and the elders. Now, an orator is an advocate, or we might be familiar with the term attorney, who is plural. So it includes not only Tertullus, but also Ananias, the high priest, and the elders. Informed the governor against Paul is brought charges or presented evidence to the governor, meaning to Felix, against Paul. But we will see that the charges he brought against Paul were false. And there was no evidence that Paul had done these things. Remember, Paul was right where God wanted him to be, listening to this false testimony from Tertullus. You know, the day may come when you hear some things about yourself that are far from the truth. It won't be the first time this has happened in history. You just be living for the Lord and don't get too excited about things people say about you. And don't listen too much to what people say about somebody else that you know also. A lot of false information floats around. Somehow, it reminds me of what was said when John Glenn circled the earth 3 times in a short while. I don't guess it wasn't the earth, it was the moon maybe, whatever it was. Maybe it was the earth. All right. Somebody, we were in the Chicago area and we had a big snowstorm. Somebody made the statement, took John Glenn less time to go around the earth 3 times than it took me to shovel my driveway. And if you've lived in the Midwest, you understand, or northern part of the country, you know what it is to have to shovel your driveway, especially if you're the child and this driveway is long, okay? I had the privilege on more than one occasion of using my body and my arms and shoulders and everything else to shovel a lot of snow out of our driveway so that my mom and dad could get in and out easily, right? It's all right. I needed to do that. It was good for me. Well, Tertullus, with flattering words for Felix, began to present the Jews' case against Paul. Paul had no control over what was about to be said. He perhaps didn't even realize what was going to be said until he heard it. Likewise, you and I will have absolutely no control over many things which will happen in our lives. Yet they are God's will for us to experience. We must ask the Lord to teach us things He wants us to learn as we experience these things in our lives. Verse 2, and when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, meaning Paul, saying, seeing that by thee, that's seeing that by you, Felix, we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done in unto this nation by thy providence. And transitions to what Tertullus said, and it's understood in the sense of then or now. When he was called forth is used in conjunction with began. It indicates time or a fact in addition to began. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of began, and it's been translated as indicating time in the sense of after he. Here, and I said, when he was called forth, I didn't say that correctly. My notes are better than my memory there. It's referring not to Tertullus, but it's referring to Paul. When he was come forth, suggests after he, meaning after Paul was called in or summoned before the court. Tertullus began to accuse him. Tertullus began to bring charges against him, meaning against Paul. Saying is used in conjunction with began, indicating a fact in addition to began, manner, or time. And its tense indicates ongoing action occurring at the same time as the action of began. If showing a fact in addition to began, it's understood in the sense of and he was saying. If showing manner, it's understood in the sense of by saying. If showing time, it would be understood in the sense of while he was saying. And what he was saying continues through verse 9. Seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness is used in conjunction with except in verse 3, indicating cause. Or a fact in addition to accept, and its tense indicates ongoing action occurring at the same time as the action of accept. It's been translated as indicating cause, and it's understood in the sense of because, or inasmuch as through you, Felix, we Jews are enjoying or experiencing great or much peace. If it's indicating a fact in addition to accept, it's understood in the sense of through you, we are enjoying or experiencing great peace. Were they really experiencing great peace because of Felix? Well, maybe yes and maybe no, but probably was exaggerated just a little bit to butter Felix up. Great quietness has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads great quietness or great peace or much peace we are enjoying or experiencing through you. And that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence. It's also used in conjunction with except, indicating cause or effect in addition to except. And its tense indicates ongoing action occurring at the same time as the action of except. If indicating cause, just put a because or a since in front of it, or an inasmuch as, or in view of the fact that. Since, because, inasmuch as, or in view of the fact that successes meaning prosperities or good orders are happening or are taking place to this nation through your forethought or foresight. If showing a fact in addition, to accept, it's understood in the sense of and, just put an and in front of it. Successes, prosperities, or good orders are happening or are taking place to this nation through your forethought or foresight. Really? Was he really that much in control here that he could do all these things that would result in prosperity and success for the Jewish people? Sounds a bit exaggerated in my thinking, at least. Tertullus continued his flattering words for Felix. We accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. Do attorneys really do these things in court these days? I don't know. I've not been too often in court, only as a witness a time or two in my whole life, and I plan to keep it that way, by the way. We refers to the Jews. We accept as we are recognizing, we are acknowledging, or we are praising, as indicated by the italics, it has been supplied by the translators in reference to everything Felix has done for the Jews. Always and in all places is in every way and everywhere. Tertullus is addressing his comments to most noble or most excellent Felix. It is a strongly affirmative, honorary form of address. This term was seen previously in the letter Claudius Lysias addressed to Felix. Now, I happen to think that you people are indeed excellent and that you're worthy of praise, occasionally at least, all right? And so what if I were to say to Jesse, most noble or most excellent Jesse, most honorable Jesse? Well, you'd say I'm prejudiced. Well, probably am. He's my grandson. What do you expect me to be? But wouldn't it be just a bit out of line? And yet, they're trying to butter him up so that he will grant their request. I've never buttered Jesse up quite like that. I don't plan to start now. By the way, that's not a criticism. It's just a fact. Tertullus requests that Felix listen to his brief presentation of the Jews' case against Paul. Notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto thee. Sounds like he already knew he was tedious. I pray thee that thou wouldst hear us of thy clemency a few words. Notwithstanding is a big, long word which means but, and, or now. That I be not further tedious unto thee is in order that I not hinder you any longer or too long, implying take up too much of your time. I would think if I were Felix, I would have thought you've already taken up quite a bit of my time with this stuff you've been saying. I pray thee that thou wouldst hear us. I Tertius request, I implore, or I beg you, Felix, to hear or to listen to us Jews. Of thy clemency suggests with your graciousness, with your courtesy, with your indulgence, or with your tolerance, a few words means briefly or concisely. Tertullus accused Paul of being a troublemaker who was repeatedly stirring up riots among the Jews and of being a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. Verse 5, for we have found this man, meaning Paul, a pestilent fellow and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. Verse 5 is used in conjunction with here in verse 4, indicating cause. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of here. 4 introduces the reason. Tertullus has made his request for Felix to listen to his brief remarks with clemency. For we have found this man a pestilent fellow, suggests because we Jews have found this man, meaning Paul, to be a pestilence, a plague, or a menace. This was not true. Paul was not a menace. He did preach the gospel, and that got some people excited, but he was telling them the truth. He was not a menace. The Jews claim to have also found Paul to be a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world. That would be someone who causes or brings about dissension, strife, discord, or disunion to all the Jews throughout the inhabited world. Now, this was not true either. The message he preached was opposed by some, and that did indeed create some divisions here and there. In fact, the Jews wanted to kill him. In addition, the Jews have supposedly found Paul to be a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. A ringleader is a chief leader of the sect, meaning of the heretical sect or faction of the Nazarenes, which refers to Christians, to the followers of Jesus of Nazareth. And in case you missed it, this was not intended as a compliment. God allowed, I think you need to understand that, God allowed Tertullus to paint an unfavorable picture of Paul to Felix. God could have shut Tertullus' mouth had he chosen to do so, but he didn't. He let him blab on. How's that? And he was saying things that just weren't so. But, you know, as you and I live for the Lord, God may also allow some people to paint unfavorable pictures of us. I'd like to suggest it goes with the territory. But we need to live in such a way that our lives demonstrate that the negative things some people say about us are not true. A long time ago, I heard that lesson, and I'm sure it's been repeated in my hearing a number of times. If I were to do what I was supposed to do in the way I was supposed to do it, with a good attitude and all, it would give the lie in advance to people that were being critical. Just live the way you're supposed to. Let them squawk all they want. Who is it that we're trying to please, anyhow? It's the Lord. It's not the enemies of the gospel. Yes, if we live for the Lord, some people will think we're crazy. Well, if we don't live for the Lord, God's people might think we're crazy, knowing what we should know. According to Tertullus, Paul had attempted to desecrate the temple, and the Jews had seized him and wanted to judge him according to the law. Now, this was not true. He had not attempted to desecrate the temple, and they didn't want to judge him. They wanted to kill him. Who hath gone about to profane the temple, whom we took and would have judged according to our law. That's not the way I remember it, having read it a number of times. Who refers to Paul also suggests, in addition to the things mentioned in verse 5, it may instead be understood in the sense of even, or in the more emphatic sense of indeed or in fact. Hath gone about to profane the temple, is tried or attempted to desecrate, meaning to violate the sanctity of the temple. The temple has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, who even the temple tried to desecrate, whom we took and would have judged according to our law, likewise refers to Paul. It is whom we seized, whom we arrested, whom we apprehended, or whom we took into custody and wished, meaning wanted or desired, to judge according to our law. According to our law has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text. It reads literally, and according to our law we wish to judge. Well, you'll remember back in chapter 21, they wanted to kill him. They wanted to beat him to death. Tertullus' remarks continue in verse 7. The chief captain had indeed intervened and taken Paul away from the Jews. But the chief captain Lysias came upon us and with great violence took him away out of our hands. But introduces a statement in mild contrast to Tertullus' statement of how the Jews wanted to judge Paul according to their law. The chief captain Lysias came upon him is used in conjunction with took away, indicating a fact in addition to took away or time. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of took away. It has been translated as indicating a fact in addition to took away. It means the chief captain Lysias came to us. If showing time, it's understood in the sense of after the chief captain Lysias came to us. And then he said, and with great violence took him away out of our hands, as with much or great force took or led him away out of our hands. With great violence and out of our hands have been placed in positions of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, the chief captain with much force out of our hands took him away. It seems to be a bit exaggerated. It was a mob scene. How else could he have rescued Paul from being killed by them? They certainly would not peacefully and without incident have handed Paul over to the soldiers. Tertullus' remarks conclude in verse 8. Lysias also ordered the Jewish officials to come to this meeting with Felix. According to Tertullus, by questioning Paul, Felix would surely know the truth of their charges against him. Verse 8, commanding his accusers to come unto thee, by examining of whom thyself mayest take knowledge of all these things whereof we accuse him. Commanding his accusers to come unto thee indicates something else the chief captain Lysias did. It's used in conjunction with took away in verse 7, indicating a fact in addition to took away. Its tense indicates that its action is pictured as occurring at the same time as the action of took away. It actually occurred after Paul was taken away from the Jews. It's apparently referring to what is reported in Acts 23:10, which was the second time in 2 days that Lysias had ordered his soldiers to intervene on Paul's behalf. Acts 23:10 says, and when there arose a great dissension, a great dissension. This is not exaggerated. This is Luke writing, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle. Oh, it doesn't sound like they were going to willingly just hand him over to the Romans, does it? No, this man's, he's a liar. He was not telling the truth. Unfortunately, I fear that many attorneys might do that same sort of thing in court. We don't want that kind. We want the truth to come out. By examining, thyself is used in conjunction with the verb translated mayest take, indicating means or time. Its tense indicates that its action will occur before the action of the verb translated mayest take. And it's been translated as indicating the means by which Felix may be able to know the supposed truth Tertullus and the Jews desired for him to learn. As such, it's understood in the sense of by questioning him, by questioning Paul yourself, by conducting an examination of him by yourself, or by hearing the case yourself, if showing time. It's understood in the sense of after you, Felix, question him, conduct an examination of him, or hear the case yourself. Of whom, which refers to Paul, is from whom. Mayest take knowledge of all these things whereof we accuse him, as may be able to know completely concerning all these things of which we are accusing him, meaning Paul. Mayest take knowledge as may be able to ascertain or to know exactly of all these things is about or concerning all these things. It's been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, you, Felix, may be able concerning all these things to know of what things we are accusing him, meaning Paul, whereof is simply of which. We, which refers to the Jews, is emphatic. Accuse him is are accusing him or are bringing charges against him. The Jews who were present also asserted the things Tertullus had said, that they were true. And the Jews also assented, saying that these things were so. And transitions to the next thought, in the sense of then. The Jews also assented is the Jews also agreed, and saying that these things were so indicates that they expressed their agreement. Saying suggests asserting or claiming and implies with confidence. It's used in conjunction with assented, indicating a fact in addition to assented or time. Its tense indicates that its action was ongoing and occurring at the same time as the action of assented. But if showing a fact in addition to assented, it's understood in the sense of and they were confidently asserting or claiming. If showing time, it's understood in the sense of while they were confidently asserting or claiming. And what they were asserting or claiming is that these things were so, that the situation is so. Now, if you were Felix, what would your impression have been following what has been taking place in verses 1 through 9? Let me assure you that Felix was no fool. Remember the letter that had been sent to him? He had some insight into what had happened. Here's the letter. I didn't print it in your notes, but I printed it in mine. I remind you of the letter the Roman commander Claudius Lysias had written to Felix. It doesn't sound anything like the things Tertullus and those with him said about Paul. Yet it shows what Felix knew about things that had occurred in Jerusalem in advance of what he heard on this day from Tertullus and those with him. It wasn't his first rodeo, and he undoubtedly accurately perceived that the Jews had no real case against Paul. In Acts 23, 25 through 30, we see the letter. And he wrote, this is Claudius Lysias, wrote a letter after this manner. Claudius Lysias, remember, he's the Roman man in charge of the Roman soldiers in Jerusalem. Claudius Lysias, unto the most excellent governor Felix, sendeth greeting. This man was taken of the Jews and should have been killed of them. Then came I with an army and rescued him, having understood that he was a Roman. That's a lie right there. He did not know that Paul was a Roman at that point in time. He thought he was an Egyptian who had led some men out in rebellion against the Romans. But anyway, The rest of it, this is what Felix got. And when I would have known the cause whereof they accused him, I brought him forth into their council, whom I perceived to be accused of questions of their law, but to have nothing laid to his charge worthy of death or of bonds, meaning of imprisonment. And when it was told me how that the Jews had laid wait for the man, I sent straightway to thee and gave commandment to his accusers also to say before thee what they had against him. Farewell. Now, if you had that letter and you had read it and understood it and accepted it as true, what would your impression be if you were Felix listening to this garbage that Tertullus and the others were spewing forth? Well, you come to verse 10, and we see that Paul began his defense by stating that he was happy to answer the Jews' accusations. Then Paul, after the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, "Forasmuch as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself." Then transitions from what Tertullus and the Jews were claiming to Paul's defense of himself in the sense of "and." Paul answered, suggests Paul replied, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, is used in conjunction with "answered," indicating time or cause, and its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of "answered." It has been translated as indicating time. But if showing cause, it's understood in the sense of because or since the governor beckoned or nodded to him to speak. Beckoned is nodded and implies nodded to Paul as a signal. "Forasmuch as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation," is used in the conjunction with "answer," indicating cause. "Forasmuch as" suggests since, or because. "I, Paul, know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation," is, "I know that you, Felix, have been a judge to this nation for many years." "Of many years" has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, and this emphasis has been retained in the King James. "I do the more cheerfully answer for myself" is, "more cheerfully I'm making my defense to," or defending myself in regard to the things concerning myself. Although Paul had been accused by Tertullus in verse 5 of being a pestilent fellow, meaning a pest, a troublemaker, or a plague, he advised Felix that only a few days had elapsed since he went to Jerusalem to worship and not to create any kind of disturbance. Paul's answer was brief, but definite and to the point. And although falsely accused, Paul maintained his composure and kept his cool. How will you handle it when somebody falsely accuses you? You need to keep your composure and stay calm. Stay cool. Answer the charge. But don't prejudice the judge against yourself by being mean and nasty in your defense. "Because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship." It's only 12 days. He's on the 12th day now, as I understand that, since he went to Jerusalem. And he's been 5 days in Caesarea, 5 of those 12. He's only there 7 days about. "Because that thou mayest understand" is used in conjunction with "find," indicating cause or a fact in addition to "find." Its tense indicates action that was ongoing and occurring at the same time as the action of "find." And it's understood in the sense of "because you, Felix, are able to know or to understand." If showing a fact in addition to "find," it's understood in the sense of "you, Felix, are able to know and to understand." And what Paul wants Felix to know is, that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship, that the number of days are not more than 12 from the time when I ascended to Jerusalem to worship in Jerusalem. Moreover, of these 12 days, Paul has spent the last 5 of them in Felix's custody in Caesarea. For to worship is used in conjunction with went up, indicating purpose. Its tense indicates that its action would occur after Paul's arrival in Jerusalem. And it's understood in the sense of to worship. Now let me give you a little lesson in English translation from Greek in the King James Bible. You see that for to, when you see a phrase for to in front of a verb, like for to worship, it always seems to me to be indicating purpose, okay? For the purpose of worshiping. In enough of the Greek lesson, I've given you enough of that already in this message. You'll have to forgive me, I'm a Greek professor, all right? I have never gotten away from that, so I'm glad I can still do it now and then, and I'm glad for your forbearance of being bored by my Greek explanations. In verses 12 through 13, Paul defended himself against the charge Tertullus stated in verse 5 that he was a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world by stating that he had not argued with anyone in the temple nor stirred up the people either in the synagogue or in synagogues or in Jerusalem. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city. And continues Paul's statement before Felix. They refers to the Jews who were bringing charges against Paul. Neither and nor introduce a number of things with which Paul was being charged that he did not do. They neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, as they did not find me in the temple arguing or discussing or conversing with anyone. Neither is simply or. It introduces raising up the people, which means that the Jews also did not find Paul causing an uprising, causing a disturbance or causing an insurrection among a crowd or among people. Neither in the synagogues means that Paul or the Jews did not find Paul causing a disturbance in the synagogues, the places where Jews gathered for worship. Nor in the city means the Jews did not find Paul causing a disturbance in the city, meaning in Jerusalem. Furthermore, the Jews cannot prove what they are saying. Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. Neither can they prove, as neither are they able to prove or to demonstrate what Tertullus, the chief priests, and the elders cannot prove is the things whereof they now accuse me, meaning the things concerning which they are now, meaning at the present time in this trial, accusing or bringing charges against me. Paul did acknowledge that he worshiped God in the way the Jews referred to as a sect, and that he believed everything in the Old Testament scriptures. He's introducing a bit of a witness to Felix. But this I confess, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. But introduces a statement in mild contrast to what Paul has not done. This I confess unto thee, as I, Paul, admit, or I acknowledge this to you, Felix. And what he admits extends through verse 16. But we're going to stop with verse 15. That introduces what Paul admits. After the way which they call heresy, suggests in accordance with the way they, meaning Tertullus, the chief priest and the elders, are calling a sect, meaning a heretical sect. so worship I the God of my fathers. In this manner, I, Paul, am worshiping the God of my fathers, or the God of my ancestors, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets is used in conjunction with worship, indicating a fact in addition to worship. Its tense indicates that its action was ongoing and occurring at the same time as the action of worship. It's understood in the sense of, and I believe all things which have been written in the law and the prophets. It means that he believes everything written in the Old Testament scriptures. Of course, if you will recall, the chief priest and the elders that he would have around him were Sadducees, and they didn't believe anything after the book of Deuteronomy. I'm not sure where Felix's knowledge was on that. Paul also acknowledged that he, like the Jews, believed in the resurrection of the dead, both of the righteous and of the unrighteous. Now, he's being rather generous when he says, like the Jews, because the Sadducees were Jews and they didn't believe those things, all right, but the Pharisees did. And we have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there is shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. And have hope toward God is used in conjunction with worship, indicating a fact in addition to worship. Its tense indicates that its action was ongoing and occurring at the same time as the action of worship. It's understood in the sense of, and I have hope or expectation in God. Hope has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text. It reads literally, hope, having in God, which they themselves also allow, refers to hope, and means which they themselves also look forward to or wait for. That there shall be a resurrection of the dead is literally that a resurrection of the dead is about to be, both of the just and unjust, is both of righteous ones and of unrighteous ones. It means that everyone will be raised from the dead. The righteous are saved people who have trusted God as their Savior and will spend eternity in heaven, whereas the unrighteous are those who are unsaved because they have rejected Christ as their Savior and will spend eternity in the lake of fire. When Paul was in Jerusalem, remember that the Lord assured him that he will testify about him in Rome. Although Paul did not know how he would be getting to Rome, we do know this because we've read the rest of the story in the coming chapters. At this time in his life, Paul was right where God wanted him to be. He knew that he would be testifying about Christ in Rome. As saved people, you and I know that our eternal destiny is that we will spend eternity in heaven with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We also know that the Lord Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us. In addition, we've been given the Bible as a guidebook by which we should live our lives. As we diligently study the Bible and submit our hearts and minds to it while seeking to obey it, the Holy Spirit will make us more and more Christ-like and will guide us throughout our lives. It's the scriptures that the Holy Spirit uses, not my stories, okay? And that's what he uses in your life too. We must recognize that God's timing was perfect in Paul's life, just as his timing in your life and mine is also perfect. Although at the present time God has us right where he wants us to be, it does not mean that God won't move us somewhere else at some time in the future. It's important that we are to be living for the Lord here and now where we are, and that we also be living for the Lord wherever he leads us in the future. Paul was on trial for his life because of his faith in Christ. Here's a question for you. If you were on trial for your life for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence they could find to convict you? I'll ask it again. If you were on trial for your life for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence in your life to convict you? Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that we have this wonderful privilege of studying the Word of God. Help us to be living faithfully for him as saved people. Help us to be studying thy word and understanding it and putting it into practice in our lives. And our Father, should we ever be put on trial for our faith, may there be plenty of evidence that they can come up with that would convict us of the crime that they would be accusing us of. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.